Scripture reading for tonight is from the Gospel of Matthew, first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7. And we'll read verses 15 to 23. And then after that, we'll turn to the Heidelberg Catechism in the back of your Psalter hymnal. We look at Lord's Day 49. The scripture reading is on page 1506 in your Pew Bible. 1506. Matthew chapter 7, 15 to 23. Passage entitled, A Tree in Its Fruit. Watch out for false prophets, says Jesus. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves, and by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word. And then we turn to the back of your Psalter hymnal, page 921 in the back there. We get to Lord's Day 49. Just one question and answer there. We're getting to the end part of the Heidelberg Catechism. Only goes up to, what is it, Lord's Day 42, and then we're done the catechism. So right now we're looking at Lord's Day 49. Doing the requests, the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. So we're looking at the petition about God's will. Lord's Day 49, how about I'll ask the question and together we respond with the answer. What does the third request of the Lord's Prayer mean? Of the catechism as well tonight. Dear praying congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're talking about those things we should be talking about or saying in our prayers. Some people have difficulty knowing what we ought to pray about, and so that's what we're talking about these days. We're talking about those things and topics that we should be mentioning, talking about in our prayers to God. To do that, we're looking then at the Lord's Prayer these days. Jesus gave us a good model prayer to follow, and so we follow that as our guide. We continue with that again tonight. So far then, we noted that after we call upon his name, that is, after we say, Our Father who art in heaven, we should spend some time in our prayers just praising him. That is what ought to be our first topic in our prayers, really. It's praise. That's what hallowed be your name means, if you care to know. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And hallowing his name implies giving him honor and glory and praise. And so in our prayers, we praise him for who he is, we praise him for what he does, hallelujah. We noted a second topic, so to speak, in our prayers. We noted as well that when we pray, we should spend some time talking about his kingdom, which makes sense. Our God reigns. He is sovereign. And so we want his rule recognized everywhere in the world. All of this implies that he wants his rule recognized in our hearts. He wants his church to grow. He wants his rule recognized in every sphere of life, including politics, education, you name it, all until Jesus Christ comes back again. this is what is all implied when Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," maybe your name be praised, "and may your kingdom come." Tonight, we move on to a third topic in our prayers. We discuss another important matter to address and talk about in our prayers. And what matter is that? It's God's will. We have to think about God's will as well when we pray. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, may your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Praying for God's will, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, in order to do that, we have to be sure we all agree first on what we mean by God's will in order to pray for it. One thing we do not mean, when we pray for God's will, we're not praying for God's hidden will or his secret will. You know how theologians note this difference between God's hidden will and his revealed will. His hidden will has to do with what God knows will finally happen in this world, what God has planned will happen in this world, but he hasn't made that known to us. Sometimes when a person is very, very sick in the hospital and we pray, "Oh, Father, this person is very dear to us, you know, we ask that you make this person well again very soon." And then at the end of the prayer we add, "But Father, we don't know your hidden plans, your secret will. We confess that your secret will is always perfect, right, and true. And so ultimately, may your will be done." This is not what I'm talking about in this sermon. And that is not what Jesus was referring to either when he taught us to pray, "May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I'm not denying that we should pray that God's hidden will be done when we pray for someone who is sick or something. Of course we should. But this is not what Jesus had in mind when he taught us to pray for God's will in the Lord's Prayer. What Jesus was thinking of, and what we ought to pray for as well, is God's revealed will. Like I said, there is God's hidden will, and there is his revealed will. God has revealed has a revealed will for us, and it's right here in the Bible. This is God's will for our lives. We need to obey the Bible. In the Bible, God has given us a number of instructions and commandments. And our responsibility and God's will is that we obey. When we pray, "May your will be done," what we're praying for is obedience. What we're praying for is, "Father, may I obey your will. Help me to be obedient to your word." Congregation, we need to talk about this stuff then in our prayers. This has to be an important topic in our communal prayers, in our family prayers, but also in our private and in our personal prayers. In that regard, brothers and sisters, do you pray for obedience? Do you pray for that? Do you pray, "Father, help me to obey your law. Help me to obey your commandments." Do you pray, "Father, sanctify me. Make me holy. Make me obedient. Fill me with your spirit so that I conform to the Father's will." Do you pray that? It's noteworthy that doing the Father's revealed will was always Jesus' concern. I think of the many times that he said it. In John 4, Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." In John 5, he says to the scribes and the Pharisees, "I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. To his followers, he says in John 6, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. It's noteworthy that even in times of extreme temptation, what did Jesus do? He especially prayed for obedience. I think especially of that time in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, at this time in Jesus' life, it is close to crucifixion time. He is just about to be arrested by the Roman authorities and by the Sanhedrin. The pressure is on. The temptation is there. In the garden, Jesus prays that God might change his plans for him. He prays that he might not endure the cup of suffering. But yet, what else does he pray? He prays that if that is not the Father's will, that he at least do what God wants him to do. Jesus' prayer is, may your will be done. May your revealed will for me be done in my life. Help me to be obedient to your will. Actually, if you think about it, of course, active obedience was Jesus' big concern always. I mean, Jesus Christ, he came as the second Adam, right? The first Adam, he was not obedient. He did not keep the Father's will. So that's why Jesus came. He came as the second Adam. Christ, he came to fulfill the Father's will, which is exactly what he did, right? He remained obedient even unto death. And seeing then that we are followers of Jesus Christ, shouldn't we have that eager concern to do his will as well? Noteworthy is our passage in that regard. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7? He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Catch that. Jesus is saying, not everyone who prays, not everyone who calls upon his name will enter the kingdom of heaven. No, no, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. See that? We have to have an active concern for obedience. Jesus continues, many will say to me on that day, he's talking about judgment day now, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? You see what he's saying? Maybe there are many things we can and like to do for Jesus. Maybe you can prophesy. Maybe you can cast out demons. Maybe you can do miracles. Maybe you can do some other things. Maybe you can sing for Jesus really well. Maybe you can give tons of money to the poor. You're rich and you give lots of money to the poor. Maybe you can play baseball really well for Jesus. Whatever. That's all fine. That's all good. That's great. But look what Jesus is saying. You can prophesy. You can cast out demons. You can do miracles all your life long. You can sing. You can give all of your money away, or you can play the best baseball in the world for Jesus. But if you ignore his basic commandments, if you have no thought for the Sabbath day, if you don't honor your parents, if you steal, if you don't honor the marriage bed, if you don't respect the other requirements of his law, then on the last day, Jesus will say to you, who are you? I don't know you. Away from me, you evildoer. You see the point? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's why when Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to say, our Father, may your will be done right here on earth as it is up in heaven. This is no small concern for God. We must aim for active obedience all the time. Maybe some people here tonight feel a bit uncomfortable, maybe with all of this. I mean, this puts a lot of emphasis on man's responsibility here, doesn't it? It puts a lot of emphasis on good works, right? Some might want to say, wait a minute, Pastor Ken. Aren't we saved by grace? Aren't we saved by faith? Now, shouldn't that be our concern? And the answer, of course, is yes, of course. Of course we need to be saved by grace, and that's how we are saved. And of course we live by faith from day to day, looking to Jesus. But let's be clear here. Faith, it will always express itself in action. It will express itself in good works. It will express itself in obedience. This is plainly biblical. We see it in the Old Testament. Exodus 20, verse 1, the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, the land of slavery. I saved you by my grace, God is saying. And then right away, therefore, you shall have no other gods before me. Grace asks for obedience. It's in the New Testament too. Ephesians 2. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. James chapter 2. Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Jesus says in John, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Old Testament and New. God, he saves by grace through faith, and that faith will lead us to do the Father's revealed will. Not that we're going to be perfect. Nobody is. But that's what we're aiming for all the time. And of course, God desires more than just mere external, you know, outward obedience. Yes, what does God really want? He wants our heart, of course. He wants heart obedience. He wants our love. It starts there. I mean, this is the basic commandment, of course, right? What is God's ultimate will for our lives? That we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and that we love our neighbors as ourselves. That's God's ultimate will for our lives. And that's what we need to pray about as well. Father, help me to be a loving person. Help me to really love you as you have loved me. Father, help me to show love to my neighbor, to my children, to my spouse, to my friends. Help me to show love to my enemy, the person I can't seem to get along with. Help me to express it. Help me to live it out. Father, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know what, congregation? When we honestly do seek to do the Father's will, when we begin to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, when we begin to love our neighbors all in line with the commandments, all by the power of the Holy Spirit, by His grace through faith, then you know what? Then we start to fulfill those other two petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Let me explain. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and may your will be done. What I'm saying is, if we honestly seek to do his revealed will, then his kingdom begins to come. And when his kingdom begins to come, why then we also begin to really hallow his name as well. See that? They all kind of work together. Hallowing his name implies promoting his kingdom. And promoting his kingdom implies walking in obedience. All the more for us to pray, Father, help us to do the Father's will. You know, so often we center our prayers so much around ourselves. We can't do that. Too often we pray, Father, I need this. And Father, I want that. And today Jesus comes to us and says, no, how about you give to me? How about you do what I want? What Jesus asks us to pray for is to walk in obedience. And you know, when we do that, the more we walk in obedience, the more we are blessed. We really are. God blesses when we walk in obedience. When we walk in obedience by faith, hey, the image of God, it begins to become restored in our lives. And restored, we begin to sense a little bit more what paradise actually looks like. In paradise, we experience stability. In paradise, we have joy. In paradise, we have comfort. In paradise, we have confidence. Sure, we have nearness to God. In paradise, we experience true kingdom living. That's grace. That's blessing. And so when we pray around the dinner table, when we pray in our own personal prayer closets, whatever, let's not overlook the topic of obedience. May we strive to pray and to live for obedience. Father, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, for Jesus' sake. Amen.